welcome to Inspired Island, where every episode we sit down with someone living an inspired life here on Vashon Island in Puget Sound. From world-class artists and musicians to chefs and business owners, our little rural island has it all. I'm your host, Grace McCray, a new full-time Vashon Island resident, and thank you for joining me on this journey to discover why Vashon is such an inspired island. And welcome back, everyone. We're all in for a treat today because Truman O'Brien is in the studio with us. Welcome to the show, Truman.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm flattered to be asked, actually.
Oh, I've been really excited to sit down and chat with you. And so Voice of Vashon listeners probably already know Truman, as he is one of the many talented hosts of the popular Morning Scramble show.
Correct. Tuesdays.
Yes, Tuesdays. But I actually first heard about Truman because he is also a well-known pilot on the island. So my husband has a serious passion for planes.
Oh, boy, does he.
And he's been that way since he was a child. Yeah. But it wasn't really until recently that he finally got around to getting his private pilot's license, which is no small feat. And so now he's off flying in little Cessnas around for fun, which still gives me a fright, but here we are. And now that we're on Vashon, whenever my husband mentions flying to anybody, it seems like somebody always pipes up and says, "Hey, do you know Truman?" Yeah. So we quickly learned that Truman was a professional commercial pilot with Alaska Airlines for 25 years or so.
With the Alaska Air Group, 23.
23, yeah. Wow. Mm-hmm. And now he's teaching students as a flight instructor.
I have my aircraft partners that I'm teaching.
Okay.
I'm not taking any students, so please don't ask me. So.
But Truman is clearly keeping very busy,
yeah.
And he was somebody I was definitely excited to get to know more. So, Truman, I know very little about you personally,
sure.
So I'd love to know where your story begins. Where did you grow up?
Well, I was born a poor white child. No, that was from a movie. No, I was actually born in Carlsbad, New Mexico. How about that?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, my parents were actually from Texas, and I lived in West Texas until I was about 11 years old. My father had a cotton farm. He was actually a rancher for years, but got into cotton farming because of the drought in that area.
But anyway,
at age 11, we moved to Montana, where my father took over my grandfather's ranch there. And he got back into ranching. And so, of course, I was a ranch kid.
Okay.
But as a kid, I was always fascinated with the little airplanes that were flying the pipelines. And they used to have like little Piper Cubs that would fly around the pipelines looking for leaks in the around the oil fields. And I was always fascinated by that. Oh, and also we were very close to the Paiute, what was called a Paiute Air Base and at Paiute, Texas. And that's where they parked a lot of the World War II bombers at the end of the war. And I can remember as a kid driving by and seeing these rows and rows and rows of airplanes. And we'd occasionally have the big guys flying over us. And in fact, the Enola Gay, the airplane that dropped the atomic bomb in Hiroshima, was actually there. That's where it was mothballed. And its final flight was from Paiute to Washington, D.C., and it actually flew over our farm.
No way.
On that final flight. Yeah. And as a kid, my uncle had something to do with that airbase. And I got to climb inside the airplane. Is that cool?
Wow.
So anyway, get to Montana. And my father hated to fly. But he had a hired hand who was just a character. I mean, he could drive anything, including airplanes. And so he talked my dad into buying a little J3 Cub, a little two-seat Cub. And so I started flying in the back seat of that with Dad's hired hand.
Wow.
And I was hooked. No question. I started flying when I was 16. I soloed when I was 16. And I got about, 50 hours thereabouts. But I was just doing it for fun. You know, I was a ranch kid from Montana. I had no idea that I could be an airline pilot, for crying out loud.
Right.
And I wore glasses, you know, and that probably wasn't going to work. So anyway, I went off to college. And after a couple of years of college, I was doing really well in skiing and in partying, but not doing real well in school. And so I dropped out and went into the military.
Okay.
And I went in as an enlisted person. I mean, I wasn't flying. I was in military intelligence, but I know that's an oxymoron, but I was. And when I got out, I still wanted to fly. Mm. And so long story short, I started flying. I got my commercial. I never intended to pursue it as a profession.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, at age 32, believe it or not, I said, you know, all I've ever wanted to do is fly airplanes. And my wife said, you are nuts. You're 32 years old. There's nobody's going to hire you. Well, they did. Mm-hmm. And I started flying at a fixed-based operation over at Boeing Field.
Okay.
Eventually was, after about a year and a half, was hired by Galvin Flying Service, which is still
in, I've heard of them.
Yeah, they're still in operation over there. I very quickly became their chief instructor, and I was running their flight school, and I did that for about 3.5 years. And then one of my former students came to me and said, hey, I just bought this DC-4. And a DC-4, I don't know if you know what that is. It's a big four-engine propeller aircraft.
Mm.
World War II era aircraft. And he said, I need somebody to be my director of operations because we're doing all of this paperwork that we have to take through the FAA.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that you have a very good rapport with the FAA, being the chief pilot there.
Mm.
So I went to work for him. And I was hauling fish up in Alaska off the beach. No runway, no approach.
Oh, my goodness.
No nothing. Yeah, we had a tide table. And we would land on the beach and load up 23,000 pounds of salmon and fly them off the beach.
Jeez Louise. When you were flying as a 16-year-old,
yeah,
was there an actual course that you took?
No.
Or was this just all ad hoc,
learning
as you go?
Learn as you go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
And in fact, the reason I didn't finish my private is because I was just studying out of a book for the written.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's to get your license, you have to have pass a written exam, an oral exam, and a flight check, as well as having a medical examination. You have to do all of those things in order to get your private. Well, I was just studying out of a book. I took my written and I missed it by like 2 points.
Heartbreaking.
Yes. But I wasn't in any course. I was just, you know, reading out of a book. So I got really discouraged and that kind of, and then I went off to college. So that kind of stopped my flying at that point.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I got back into it and the rest is history, as they say.
Yes. And have you ever thought about what it was about flying or planes that really drew you to that?
You know, it's really interesting. I haven't really thought about that. It's always kind of a fantasy, you know, that you're up there, you're in control, you're free to do whatever you want to do. You see things that nobody else can see. I don't know. It's kind of its own kind of magic around.
Right. So is it less for you like a means to an end, but actually the process of flying that you love?
But that's what it has been. And that's what it was when I was, you know, working. But at the same time, once you, you know, I've got almost 20,000 hours and some of the magic does go away a little bit, I have to admit.
Yeah.
But I still enjoy it. I mean, I still enjoy the manipulation of the controls and landing, you know, and especially in difficult situations where it challenges, you know, my skill. I enjoy that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm liking teaching again. It's fun.
Yeah. And it's amazing to think about. I've thought a lot about the industry of flying. And so because I was born on December 17th, which in 1903 was the first Wright brother flight.
Right.
So I always kind of think I am passionate about flying, but I'm still a nervous Nelly about flying.
Yeah. So you need to learn.
Maybe I do.
You do? Yeah.
Yeah. The more you know, the more control you feel like you have.
Absolutely.
But I think just in terms of the technology, when you started your career and your first few hours flying, what have you seen in terms of the industry?
You have no idea.
Yeah.
I mean, I have photographs. I don't have actual pictures of the airplane that I flew.
Mm-hmm.
That airplane was actually destroyed just a few years ago in a crash up in Alaska. I mean, up in Canada. But I had there were no navigation instruments of any kind.
Mm.
There was oil pressure. There was an RPM, you know, gauge. There was airspeed and altitude. But that's about it. Oh, and we did have a radio, which we never used because we were out in eastern Montana. I used it a couple of times. You know, I didn't even know how to use the thing. When I retired, I was in the 737 Next Generation, which is the standard cockpit that Boeing is using in all of their aircraft.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all glass cockpit. And it's amazing technology, what these airplanes do. I will say that, you know, people say to me, oh, gee, they're so automatic. Now all you do is just take off and push a button and you never have to do anything. Mm-hmm. Well, not exactly. you could do that. I mean, you could program the airplane to fly the whole flight without really touching it until after landing.
Mm-hmm.
Believe it or not, you could.
Wow.
But it requires a lot of input from the pilot to even do that.
So, yes. Yes, and thinking about for those of us who aren't pilots but yet do take flights every once in a while, and we see the pilots get on and off. Unfortunately, these days you don't see the pilots much.
No. Yeah.
But from the life of a commercial pilot, from those 23 years that you spent, what were some of your favorite parts about being a professional commercial pilot, and what were some of the challenges or things that you didn't live up to your expectations?
Yeah. Well, the fun part were the people.
Okay.
Without a doubt. I mean, the flight attendants and the first officers and captains that I worked with, that was the best, obviously. Mm. They were great. And of course, the flying itself. I loved the flying. I was based in Anchorage for 4 years, so getting to fly out into all the little strips out in the boonies, you know, that was always fun. And challenging. We operated actually off of a few gravel strips for the 737, which was, it was very, very unusual. The Red Dog Mine up above the Arctic Circle, up above Kotzebue, had a gravel strip. And sometimes you would shoot the approach and you'd come down, get almost to landing, and you realize that there were caribou on the runway.
Oh, wow.
And you would have to go around and buzz the caribou to scare them off the runway. And then come back around and try it again, you know. So that kind of stuff was really fun. Really fun. Yeah.
I can only imagine some of the adventures.
And of course, the challenges are the part that weren't so fun were first of all, the schedules, of course, are awful.
Right.
Those are really hard on you. And you get tired, you know, a lot. And of course, dealing with TSA and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
That's always been a pain.
Mm-hmm. And it sounded like you have a family, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And so was it challenging for them?
Yeah. One of the things is my daughter was into horses, and you know, I missed a lot of horse shows.
Mm-hmm.
I missed holidays very often, you know, be on the road. But it was part of the job, you know, and they understood it, and they got to fly, you know, which is pretty cool.
I was going to say, the perks can be very
nice. The perks
were
very
nice. Some family vacations.
Yeah, we traveled a lot. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. And while you were flying professionally, commercially, the right term, I believe, were you flying small planes for fun on the side, or you just were exhausted?
Not at all. No. Maybe one or two times, but no, not at all. And in fact, I didn't get back into light aircraft until I had been retired for 12 years.
No way.
I had not flown an airplane in 12 years. Not once.
Really?
Yeah. And that's a long story, but I won't get into how I got back into it. But my nephew and some other folks that talked me into getting back into little airplanes, and now I'm flying again.
And a lot, right?
Yeah, quite a lot. Yes. Yeah, quite a lot. And loving it. It's real fun.
That's awesome. Yeah. And where and when did Vashon come into the picture?
Well, this is kind of crazy. This is actually before I started flying professionally.
Oh, okay.
I was still flying, but I was working at Fort Lewis as a director of a counseling center for high school kids.
Huh.
Yeah, I know. It's a little odd. But it was at a time when I believe it was Reagan that they took away our funding. And so the center closed. I lost my job. And I was looking for a job working with kids and, you know, in the psychology and all of this area. And I'd been out of work for, I don't know, 3 months or so. And finally my wife said, "You're going to work." Funny how that is. Those darn wives want you to work. I don't know why it is. But but anyway, so I went down and looked on the employment board. And here's this job that said camp superintendent. Oh. I said, well, that sounds interesting. You know, I'd be working with kids and whatever. So I applied for it. It was Camp Sealth on Vashon Island with the Campfire Girls, Campfire Girls at that time. And I got hired by them, and I moved to Vashon and lived at Camp Sealth for 3 years.
Jeez.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. Yeah, that is.
Yeah, that's what first brought me to Vashon. And this was in 1975.
Okay.
Long time ago.
Right.
75 to 78. And then in 78 is when I got back into flying.
Okay.
And then in 1991, my daughter was in middle school and got into horses. My wife's always been into horses. And we decided, gosh, you know, we should get back out in the country. And where's country? Here we are.
Yes.
So we moved back to Vashon in 1991.
Jeez. And so those 3 years were good, I'm guessing. You really liked it here?
Oh, gosh, yeah. We loved that.
In order to come
back. Yeah. It's changed a lot.
I know.
Yeah.
That's something I've been trying to get more into is Vashon history, because I live in the Burton area, and that area, I think, has gone through many different phases.
Yeah. And it's interesting, the different populations that live here on the island, how the dynamic is changing over time.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone talks about gentrification and, you know, things are getting fancier and nicer. You know, it was pretty pretty rustic when we first lived here.
Oh, yes. I can only imagine based on what it is.
The stories right you've heard, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Absolutely. And were you involved at all with the flying here on Vashon those first 3 years? Okay.
No.
Okay. So it wasn't until really retirement that you got involved?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I was very retired before I got back into flying here on the island.
Okay.
But in the meantime, of course, I've been involved with a number of other organizations. So I got right before I retired, I got involved with Four Stewards. So they're a nonprofit group here on the island. Their primarily goals are education, but ecological forest management. And they actually put in a sawmill. So they produce lumber and they produce flooring and all kinds of stuff. And they also provide a tree service for folks. And I did that for a number of years. I was on their board of directors and actually drove the logging truck and all of that for a number of years. And then my mom came out and lived with us for a while. And then she was declining. And so right after Vashon Community Care first opened, the new facility, she was the second resident in assisted living. And after about a year, I got recruited onto their board. And I spent, I think it was like the next 6 years serving on the Vashon Community Care Board. In fact, I was the president of the board for 5 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Vashon seems like a small community, but I'm just amazed. I wasn't expecting just the breadth of organizations here on the island. It's fantastic.
It is amazing. I got... Before I did that, I got recruited to run for park commissioner. It's a long story, but I ran for park commissioner, was elected. I served two terms,
okay,
8 years total as a park commissioner. Yeah. And boy, I met a lot of folks and learned a lot about Vashon and the breadth of things that the park district does and did. It's just amazing. Amazing what they're involved in. So that's what really, really got me involved in the community. And that's what got me recruited to Forest Stewards and to VCC, that experience.
So were you involved at all with like protecting some of the areas of Vashon from development?
Yeah, the very first thing I was involved with Park District was when Fern Cove, Land Trust was involved in saving Fern Cove.
Mm-hmm.
We formed a partnership with the Park District and the Land Trust. The Land Trust got the property, and then they allowed the Park District had to own it because of the funding source.
Mm-hmm.
So the Park District actually owned Fern Cove, but they had a contract with Land Trust to run it, you know, to manage it.
Right.
And we did the same thing with Fisher Pond a few years later.
Okay. So, I love Fisher Pond.
Yeah.
And Voice of Vashon, where and when did you get involved with Voice of Vashon? Because Truman was actually teaching me the board.
The board. Well, this is crazy. Susan McCabe is a good friend of mine.
Yes.
And we were at a fundraiser, actually, one evening, and we were sitting at the table, and of course she was just getting involved with getting the Voice of Ashon started.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, "Well, gosh, we've got almost all of our Morning Scramble host, you know, picked out. We only have one day or maybe 2 days left." And I said, "Well, what are you talking about?" So she explained, you know, the Morning Scramble, that there would be a host and a co-host and 8 until 11. And I said, "Well, I could do that." And she said, "What?" I said, "Well, you know, when I was a kid in high school, I belonged to Key Club, you know, which is like the junior Kiwanis.
Right.
And one of our fundraisers was that we would take over the radio station for a day once a year. And for that week before, or the 2 weeks before, we sold all of the advertising. We did all of the ads. We did, you know, recorded all of the advertising. We did all of that. And then for one full day, we ran the station. We were DJs. We ran the whole thing. And I loved it. It was so much fun. And so I had to... 2 or 3 years of experience doing that, and I thought, oh, that would be fun to get back into it. Here I am, 4 years later or 5 years later, whatever it is.
Yeah, it's really full circle.
Yeah, yeah. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. Well, you are certainly a man of many talents. And my husband would be very angry if I didn't ask a little bit about Vashon Airport now that you've gotten into flying again.
Sure,
and
sure.
So I think a lot of us on the island know that the little Vashon Airport exists. It's a grass runway.
2,000 feet.
2,000 mm-hmm. feet. Mm-hmm. And it's been around for quite a while, it
You know, I
like.
Don't know the full history of it,
mm-hmm.
but it has been here a long time. And it's it is actually... there's a board that runs the airport.
Okay.
And they're an elected position. So it's an official county entity.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's maintained by, gosh, I don't really know. But mm-hmm. I think the board is involved in maintaining it. And it's lit, has lights that automatically come on at night, although I would never land here at night because of the trees. But
and the deer.
And the deer. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. They always come out at dusk and in the early morning.
Yes.
Yeah.
And would you say it's a pretty active airport?
There are probably, gosh, I don't know how many airplanes there are actually based there, a
mm-hmm.
lot.
Mm-hmm.
But there are probably at least... Oh, I don't know, 5 or 6 people who fly a lot, you know, that keep the airport going. And the approaches and the to it are a little exciting because of the trees. And the trees grow very close to the runway, so you have to be very careful.
Yes.
And as your husband can tell you, it's you need to have come in here with somebody who's been here before.
Right.
Before you come in by yourself, because it's a bit of a handful.
Yes, it could. I was sitting in the car outside of the airport, but near the entrance, and my husband was making an approach, and he went, it seemed like, right over the car. So, yeah, it's really, you got to come drop really,
really
quick.
Quickly.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, wow. And I know that you fly, you've got some friends that you fly with. Have you made any friends through aviation here, or is it more like your friends that you've made?
Actually, I have.
Okay.
I have. The gentleman that we bought the airplane from, Ken, is an A&P mechanic. So he's helped us, you know, maintain the airplane, and we've gotten to be good friends and, you know, have lunch with him, and I go fly with him sometimes, and he comes and works on our airplane. So, yeah, we've formed a really close relationship. It's been really great. It's been one of the best things about the airplane is getting to know him and some of the other folks that are out at the airport, and your husband.
Yes.
The
new kid on the block.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well, that's really cool. And thinking about, you know, we're entering a new year, 2019. What's on the horizon that you're really excited about?
Well, I have actually one of my partners in the airplane is my nephew, and he has twin boys.
Oh.
Which got us into this. If that's what really got me back into this flying. They're going to be 16 this summer,
no.
So they can get their license,
yeah.
And they are really excited to do that. So a big goal this year is to get my 4 students now finished flying. That's my big goal for the year.
And I've been ending every show with a little fun quickfire question round, if you wouldn't mind.
I'm nervous now.
Giving some top of mind answers. And so the first question is, so the Seattle area is known for our good beverages. Do you have a favorite beverage here on Vashon?
You know, the first thing that pops to mind is strawberry lemonade at the hardware store.
Ooh, I've never had that.
Oh, it's very good, very good. Of course, Cliff's Beer comes right up at the top there.
Yeah.
And of course, the Palouse Winery and Andrew Will Winery. Andrew Will, phenomenal wines. So we have a variety, but the strawberry lemonade's hard to beat.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah.
The summer, very wholesome.
Yep.
Okay. Excellent. And if you're not at home or work, where can people most often find you on the island?
Well, two places, either at the airport or at the marina. I also have a boat, and so we spend a lot of time on our boat at the marina. So
okay. And do you have any pet peeves about island living?
Other than the ferry, I think that's kind of a general thing.
That's a theme.
You know, I do. I have one pet peeve, I think.
Okay.
And that is, and I've said this before, the island is really great at stopping things from happening. And very often for very good causes, you know, like the gravel pit and, you know, a bridge and several things. They're not really great at supporting or starting things. And I really would like to see a more positive, you know, attitude from folks saying, wow, that's really a great idea. You know, let's get behind that, get that thing going, whatever it is.
Right.
But it's always the other way. It's always, oh, we don't want that here, you know, let's stop that. So
yeah.
I guess that's my biggest pet peeve.
Yeah, getting a little bit more comfortable with change.
Yeah, exactly.
Positive change.
Yeah.
Excellent. And do you have a favorite Vashon Island tradition?
Oh, well, you know, I'm going to have to say that the Chamber of Commerce has done a great job. The street dance, you know, during Strawberry Festival, the parade. I've been very lucky to have emceed the parade a couple of times, and that's always so much fun. And the tree lighting ceremony during Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
All of those traditions, the Halloween, you know, the craziness that happens around Halloween. I love all of that.
Yes.
That is so cool. It's so Vashon.
Yes, very special.
Yeah.
And where can people find you to learn more about you and your history? Are you on Facebook or any social media?
Oh, sure, I'm on Facebook, but hey, 8 to 10:45 now.
Okay.
Not 11, because we gave up 15 minutes of our time to Brian Brown. The Brown Briefly is on at 10:45 on Tuesday mornings until 11:30. So we gave up 15 minutes of our show. But tune in, 8 to 10:45 on Tuesday mornings. My daughter's my co-host. And we have a great time. So
okay.
There you go.
You can get your weekly fix of Truman.
There you go.
Tuesday morning.
Whether you need it or not.
Awesome. And well, thank you so much for coming in today, Truman. This
My
has
pleasure.
Been a real
My
treat.
Pleasure.
And thank you all for listening. Again, this is Inspired Island on Voice of Vashon, KVSH 101.9 FM LP here on Vashon Island, Washington. Until next time, stay inspired.